Patriots head coach Bill Belichick joins us, as he does every Patriots Monday. Congratulations.
Thank you, Dale, Jerry, Michael.
Fourth straight trip to the AFC Championship game. I know you have goals that you set up at the beginning of the season, and another box gets checked here this week, I guess.
Well, this is what you work all year for, is to be in this game. So, you know, to be able to represent the AFC. So this is an honor and a great opportunity for our football team.
There's so many things to chew on from the win on Saturday, from the very beginning to the very end. Let's go to the almost to the very end. 146, I think, left in the game. What were some of the options? This has been a point of discussion. What were some of the options that you were going through to kind of salt away the clock?
Well, I mean, I think that there was an option to consider of taking a safety, but, you know, then a field goal would have beat us, and Tucker's got a big leg, so, you know, if we kick and they get the ball or fair catch it or, you know, whatever, then didn't really want to do that. Didn't want to give him a chance to beat us with a field goal because he can, you know, he hit that 63-yarder against Detroit, so we didn't want to do that. You know, definitely we're going to put the ball in the air to try to get a first down, and we just didn't – I just didn't feel like running the ball and risking a handoff or penetration or anything like that, like what happened on the goal line play was worth it. So we tried to take – we knew what that was going to come down to. We figured there would be 15 seconds when we punted the ball back to them, and so we would have had to play defense for two plays at the most, but probably one and a Hail Mary. So that's – about the way it turned out. It turned out about the way we thought it would, that we would be ready for the Hail Mary play. We put Rob in and use that that Hail Mary defense. And so that's really it came out about that's almost exactly the way we thought it would, other than, you know, let's say Jones ran a little time off the clock by running across the field. So that might have cost him a play. I don't know.
I know you talk about situational football with your players and the same thing with the coaching staff. Do you guys, as a staff, do you go over these situations in practice? Okay, here we are. This is what we have to do. This is what we'll be dealing with in terms of time management. Is that something that you can practice?
Well, yeah. I mean, we talk about all those situations at the beginning of the year. We practice them throughout the course of training camp. And you know, we usually get some of them in preseason games, if not with the guys who are in there. At least we can go through the situation. Here's what we do. Here's how we handle it. We created in practice last week a situational type of practice where we had, you know, a lot of different end of the game situations. So, you know, each one might have a little different twist to it, but there's certainly a common type of strategy, what we want to try to do, and then there are certain plays that fit specifically into that strategy. So just would depend on the situation. But yeah, we try to go through those. We obviously can't practice all of them every week. There's no way we can do that. But over a period of time, over a month, we probably hit all of them, or most all of them.
Bill, the plays that, again, the most attention the last 2 days are obviously the Shane Vereen ineligible receiver calls. Have those been in the playbook for a while? Is this something that you just installed recently, and where do they come from?
You know, saw a play that kind of sparked some interest a few weeks ago. I talked about it with the staff, and you know, we looked at some different options, and you know, we ran what we ran.
And you saw those where? It's because there's been some talk that Nick Saban ran that against LSU, and I believe you mentioned that.
We've seen a lot of those, but yeah, it was the NFL type situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any response to the criticism of the trick plays that you guys ran that came from the Baltimore coaching staff?
I mean, everything. I think we did everything within the rules. We reported. We lined up legally. We came out after the play, so not really sure what the issue is. But
I asked Teddy Bruschi this question earlier. You know, if he had been calling the defensive positions for your team, what would you have done if you'd seen an opposing team do that? What would your team do? What's the default play for your defense if something like that happens?
All right. Well, hopefully they do what they've been instructed to do. So hopefully that's what happened.
So they've been instructed for things like that.
Of course.
You think about the way the game played out. Jerry mentioned it earlier, and Dale mentioned it off the air, just like two 14-point deficits. What would you say is the turning point for you guys, just kind of calming down? Because after the second 14-point deficit, you held them to 3 points for the rest of the game. What can you point to as the play or sequence of plays that got you going?
Well, I mean, we certainly played, a lot better at the end of the game than we did at the beginning. You know, we had a couple of turnovers, the Hail Mary, a punt, and a field goal in our last, I think it was five defensive possessions and three touchdowns in our last five offensive possessions. So, yeah, hopefully we could have gotten to that a little bit sooner, but, I think we just, we got to do a better job as a coaching staff, and we just got to do a better job as a team of executing what we want to do earlier in the game, obviously, And not that we weren't trying to do that, but we just got to do a better job of it. And, Baltimore's a good team. Give them credit. They caused some problems, but we've got to do a better job of what we're doing. So hopefully we'll be able to do that this week.
Bill, you had 13 rushing plays, and I'm pretty sure that includes the kneel downs. Was that part of the game plan going in, that you weren't going to run the ball very much, or did that just come up in the situation and the flow of the game?
We chose to call what we called, so we didn't call very many of them. And, I'd say our choices every week are to do what we think gives our team the best chance to win. So that's what we did last week. That's what we've done every week, and that's what we'll do this week. So that's whatever the plays are, they are.
How many times a week does Julian Edelman ask you if he can throw a pass for you?
Not too often, but he's ready. He's ready. Now, again, that's a play that we've practiced for a while, and Big Julian's, made a lot of good decisions on that play in practice, no matter what it is, whether it's open or covered or whatever the play is, he does a good job. So I think we have a lot of confidence in him. We had a lot of confidence in him to run that play, no matter what they did, if they had, but whatever had happened, I think he's pretty much seen it all in practice and always done the right thing for us. So it was a good level of confidence in that play. But it was, obviously the right time to make it. And, the defense was good. I think the way it's set up was good. So it was, it was well executed. I mean, that's the bottom line. Those guys, Tom and Julian, Rob, Danny, Nate, I mean, they all had a key part in the play. They all did a good job of it. We got the reaction we were looking for on defense, and we were able to take advantage of it.
And you think about how long he's been in the league and the fact that he was a college quarterback. It's amazing that was his first pass thrown in his career. Was it just that you guys wanted him to focus so much on converting to receiver and punt returning that never came up, or was it just circumstance that well into his career this is his first opportunity to throw the ball?
Yeah, well, we have a pretty good quarterback, so I don't think – I'd say for the most part, if we want the ball thrown, we got a guy to throw it. I don't think we want to, just have tryouts out there on who's going to pass today. We know who can throw the ball. And so, Tom, we haven't thrown many passes since I've been here. We threw the one pass that Pat and Detroit Brown, we threw the, Kevin Fall threw a pass back to Brady. Givens threw a pass that was intercepted. So, I don't think that's, a big staple of our offense. I think our quarterback throwing the ball that's the guy we want to throw it.
Plus, you got to, Dale says the Julian campaign for it. You have to remind him, 30 touchdowns and 31 interceptions in his college career. Talking to somebody who lost a lot of money on Kent's gambling on Kent State football. Just joking. But he was 30 and 31 in his college career. So if you ever need to humble him, just remind him of those college stats.
Bill, a couple of guys got knocked out of the game, Brandon Browner and Brian Stork, the center. And, you brought in Josh Klein, and it seemed like the protections settled down a little bit. Like, haven't seen the film again. How would you evaluate the way the offensive line played?
I think we had our moments. We were playing against a good front, so let's start with that. And we've seen a lot of good fronts recently, the week before, the week before, and the week before that. Baltimore's a good one. They got good players on the edge, you know, with Doomerville, Suggs, Upshaw, McPhee. I got good players inside with, you know, Nada, Candy, Jernigan. They moved McPhee inside some, so William. There's a lot of good players in there. You know, I thought we hung in there. They certainly made some plays, but, I thought we kept the pass rush off of Tom for the most part, and he was able to get the ball out on time, and we were able to be productive in the passing game. So, it wasn't perfect, but it was productive, and can always be better.
Big day for Danny Amendola on Saturday night, but he's made some significant contributions for your team as a returner. It seemed as though when you guys put him in more as a returner, and he got more touches and he got more reps, that everything started to come together for him this year.
Yeah, well, Danny's a good football player. I think we all have a lot of confidence in him. And however he gets the ball, whether it's on a kick or a long pass or a short pass or whatever it is, that he's good with the ball in his hands. He made a big play against the Ravens last year for that touchdown when he broke the tackle on a inside route, broke ahead of his tackle, went about 30, 35 yards for a score, whatever it was. So, he does a good job, and he's a hard guy to bring down. He makes guys miss and can make yards after the catch. So, glad we have him on our team, and he certainly helped us beat the Ravens. That was important.
I like the easy plays sometimes. Here we go. Time now for the Coach's Drive of the Week, brought to you by the all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class. Raising the bar yet again as the benchmark in luxury sports sedans. Visit MBUSA.com or your nearest dealer today. This week's drive, about 5 minutes left in the game. Tom Brady to, you guys call him JoJo LaFell. We call him JoJo Tube. What did you see on that throw and just that whole sequence?
Well, it's great, great throw by Tom. Great route by LaFell to, stack Melvin and get a half a step on him, so Tom had a spot to put the ball. But it was a well-executed play. And, the Ravens are a good red area team, one of the best in the league. And, we're able to score on a few plays Saturday night that where we didn't have to deal with the red area, like that one, like the double pass. It was hard to get in on him. So to be able to score from further out was – that was key, and getting the first down the play before so we didn't end up having to kick the field goal. It was all great situation football and critical good football at a critical time in the game.
Brady and Josh have talked about LaFell's toughness. Do you see that, and if so, in what
Absolutely.
Areas what
yeah.
areas does it jump out at you?
Everything mentally tough, physically tough. I mean, he blocks well. He can, take the ball or catch a ball and take a hit. Going all the way back to the Detroit game, well, way further than that too. But even all the way back to the Kansas City game, he's had a lot of plays where he's taken contact after the catch and hung on and made the play or broken a tackle. He blocks well. He plays in a kicking game, and he's dealt with some bumps and bruises along the way. And shows up every Sunday and plays hard and plays physically. So, he's done a great job for us. He's given us a lot of. Brought a lot of toughness to our team in the running game, in the passing game, and in the kicking game too. So that's it's been good.
Okay, so you got to play on Saturday, obviously, and Indy had to play 24 hours later. How big an advantage of that is that for you? One and two. So where are you on your prep for the Indy game?
I don't think it's really that big of a deal. We didn't know who we were playing until late Sunday night, and they knew who they were playing if they won a day ahead of time. So, it's probably about a wash somewhere in there. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. This is enough time to get ready for a game at this time of the year. So where we were as far along as we could be from, basically 24 hours or maybe a little less than that, 20 hours ago when that game was decided, we're 20 hours into it. So we've gotten a lot of film broken down. We've seen a lot of film. We'll really grind through the game plan tomorrow in terms of coming up with a lot of the details and the calls and exactly what we want to do against what and in what situations and so forth. But right now we're kind of getting a lot of ideas together, getting some some thoughts on how we want to play the game, how we don't want to play the game, what things we don't want to do, what things we do want to do, and kind of merge all that together and get ready to practice it on Wednesday.
Final question for me before we let you go. When you watch the Colts on film here of late, how are they most different from when you played them earlier in the season?
You know, I don't think, Dale, it's any one area. I'd say it's just everything. You know, they've added players, and I think they're just playing at a higher level. They're playing with more consistency and better execution. You know, Cribbs has certainly helped them in the return game. I mean, they have obviously strong kickers and a great field goal kicker, you know, in Adam. And so their coverage units are solid, but I think Cribbs has definitely given them some plays in the kicking game. You know, offensively, Moncrief has, you know, become a bigger factor in the passing game, and the backs now have, you know, they've become more productive as well. And they've kind of, you know, we saw Bradshaw and you know, Richardson kind of at that point in the year, and, you know, that's shifted now. And, you know, defensively, you know, Landry was – has come back, and so he's, you know, really now in the lineup at safety. And they've, of course, have got Jones back, who didn't play against us. So that gives another, you know, another defensive lineman. So they have a little bit more depth on the defensive line. He certainly helped their run defense. And, you know, Landry is another good player back there. So they've gotten some players back, but I'd say overall their consistency and execution and has just been at a little bit higher level. I mean, which it should be for all of us after this many games, this many practices. It should improve, and I'm sure it has for every team, but I'd say incrementally they probably have improved a little bit more than a lot of the other teams they've played against, so which speaks to why they're here.
The Buckeyes have a chance tonight?
Oh, I'm sure everybody has a chance. You know, when you're playing at this time of year, these quality teams, whether it's college or pro, absolutely.
That's not the endorsement I was looking for.
you know, I really haven't seen either team play, let's say, even a half of a game. So you're talking to the wrong guy on this one. But,
just
you know, I know there's a lot of good football players at both schools, and that should be a great, great matchup. Certainly not the one that everybody was talking about through most of the season. So that makes it interesting, too.
We should have warned you. Michael's looking for unanimity on this. He just wants one voice saying that Ohio State's going to roll.
Which is why I'm rooting for Oregon, just to mess with him a little bit. We always appreciate the time. Best of luck in the AFC Championship game.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.